The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
In years to come, I will look back on 2017 fondly as the year when most people finally became aware of something that you and I have been aware of for years. The concept of fake news. Hi there, it's Doc Thompson pinch hitting for Glenn today. Appreciate you joining me. The media rabidly has objected over the last 12 months to the concept of fake news. They point at President Trump and his creative tweeting, some of the creative ways he expresses himself when he calls people out. They object to it. See, for many, many years, the media had their own little world. The media was really a collection of newspapers. Yeah, you had small town newspapers, but it was really the big town dominant few newspapers, along with a couple of networks, three primary networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, a handful of successful magazines like Time. And they controlled the media. The media was filled with progressives. But they had their own little fiefdom. And there was very little way to challenge them. You had alternative newspapers, but they were always seen as kind of rags and discredited. And then along comes the internet. People can finally express themselves without those limitations. The media hated it. And along came people like Glenn Beck, who started his own company in theblaze.com, able to express other opinions and ideas and share facts that are conveniently left out by the journalists. That's the way it was, Walter Cronkite journalist. Who would have the world believe that they know the truth, that they're not biased, they're presenting facts. And people like Glenn and The Blaze were able to present not just facts that were left out, but stories that were omitted completely that told the entire story. And that's been great over the last 5, 6, 8, 10 years to see other companies and other media outlets that are based primarily online be able to do that. But 2017, and thanks to Donald Trump, for finally calling these people out on their own platforms, challenging those reporters. And as much as at times I think it's not presidential, that isn't who I envision being somebody who would turn America for the better in a different direction. Because I think of somebody being presidential more like a Ronald Reagan, a communicator like John F. Kennedy, people like that, presidential. At least he challenged them and called them out for fake news. For that, I'll be forever grateful. Now, the good news about it, they continue to object. They continue, the media continues to pretend that they're journalists and unbiased. They have entire campaigns that center around this is not fake news. CNN has an entire campaign. This is an apple. You can say it's something else, but it's really an apple. It's still an apple. They're reacting. You know what that shows? If they're reacting to the claims of fake news, they know that they have to, that people are getting it. They've got to continue. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. This is what's real. They had to do it. So they're trying to market people back into believing that they have the facts, that they're not fake news. But they're not actually changing. So, what does the future hold for them? The slow death of traditional media, which is a good thing. Be gone with you. I welcome varying opinions. I want them. You probably do. Probably listen to a show like this because, you know, on the Glenn Beck radio program, you're going to get solid conservative and libertarian values. You may not agree with all of them, even if you're a libertarian and conservative. You may not agree with them, but you know they're coming from the same place. But you probably, at times, will flip over to an MSNBC. Maybe you pick up that New York Times or Washington Post or read an article. But you know when you do it, where it's coming from. It's filtered through a progressive lens. So you know what's going on. You know their ideas. You hear what they're arguing. I appreciate that on my morning radio program at theblaze.com/radio. That's what we do. I welcome on anybody with varying opinions. I'm going to ask tough questions, but I'll be respectful. Glenn does that on this program all the time. So it's not about a biased media. Media is bias. You're never going to get rid of all of your biases. It's impossible for a reporter or anchor to get rid of all of their biases. They can struggle. They can present other sides. They can do a good job. It's not to pretend that you're not. The solution always is sunlight, transparency, honesty, the truth. Lead with your biases. This is who we are. This is what we believe. We will present facts. We will present stories, opinions, and ideas. But no, this is who we are. This is where we're coming from. And anybody who doesn't do that has an agenda. The agenda is trickery. Not journalism. It's fooling you. It's fooling other people to sway opinion. My opinions, my values as a conservative and libertarian are strong enough, are right enough, have been vetted enough and challenged year after year, over and over on a daily basis. I'm confident of that, that I can express them. You can challenge them. They're ironclad. So I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend that I'm unbiased in this. I'm incredibly biased, and I should be, and you should as well. If you're not, what's wrong with you? Have you no opinion? Have you no information? Have you no passion? The solution is transparency. Lead with who you are. The traditional media does not do that. You know, at the founding of America, we didn't have, of course, television and radio and internet. Where did people get their news? Word of mouth. You went to your church, or your gathering, your community, a town crier. People would go out on the town square and report the news and share the news. Then there was printed, and people would post news. Those were the early newspapers. And eventually they got newspapers that with a distribution, and they'd reprint throughout the day. If you look at many of those early newspapers, they led with their bias right in the title. They would tell you who they are. When did it become journalism? The idea of journalism came about from progressives who wanted to hide because they wanted to sway opinion, knowing that their values, their ideas were not as solid. They eventually, even their own ideas, run into conflict with themselves, that they had to offer some sort of trickery in order to get people to pay attention, to go along with it, to manipulate people. I offer an example. A quick backstory about something at the White House you probably didn't know a whole lot about. The election of 1824 was a pretty rough one. Andrew Jackson running for president. John Quincy Adams running for president. Andrew Jackson won a plurality of electoral votes in 1824, but not a majority. And it got kind of ugly because, as per the 12th Amendment, the House of Representatives decided on president and they picked John Quincy Adams, even though Andrew Jackson had more electoral votes. Of course, that didn't sit real well with Andrew Jackson, so he runs 4 years later. So The election of 1824, pretty rough. 1828, really pretty nasty betwixt the two of them. And because of some deals that were made and people jockeying, Andrew Jackson becomes president in 1828. Just days after his election, his wife dies. His wife, Rachel, it had been pretty rough. He blamed those contentious elections, at least partially, on her death. And as part of his mourning, when he moved into the White House, he took a seedling from his wife's favorite tree on their farm in Tennessee, and he planted it. Beautiful magnolia tree. Planted it at the White House. And it grew and grew and grew over the years. So if you look at the White House, it's the magnolia tree off to the left. Now, years later, they planted another one on the right to kind of balance it out. But it is recognized as part of the White House aesthetics. It's almost iconic. The Andrew Jackson magnolia tree. Over the last 10 years or so, the tree has been dying. It's in horrible shape. They've done everything they can. They've got steel cables that keep it up. And the experts came in recently and said, listen, if not for these steel cables holding it up on every side, it would have fallen years ago. It's got to go. It's completely dependent. This is the U.S. National Arboretum that did the evaluation. So they went to the president and first lady, and they said, this tree is, you know, it's gone. What do you want to do? So they suggested it be removed. Melania Trump signed off on it. The media spun it as in, oh, Melania Trump cuts down historic tree at the White House. What good are you doing? Why are you reporting it that way? There's only one reason you report it that way. It was not her decision. She's not a botanist. She didn't make the decision. It's not an anti-green thing. She's not destroying the White House. It doesn't matter if you like the Trumps or hate them. The fact is, most first ladies would have made the same decision. Hey, we should cut this thing down. It's falling down anyways. We'll do something else. We'll come up with it. It could be a problem. Could cause other problems. You know, it would have fallen down years ago. All right, take it down. We'll come up with something else. First ladies make changes to the White House all the time. This was not her decision exclusively. She just offered the final yes, go ahead. The Independent reported it this way. Melania Trump orders White House tree from the 1800s to be cut down. Raw Story tweeted this headline. Melania Trump orders removal of 200-year-old tree, the oldest at the White House. Elite Daily. A White House tree is being cut down at Melania Trump's decision.
Melania Trump is anti-green.
Right, Gal, do you see how they're presenting this? This is fake news. This is exactly what her husband has talked about. Keep leading with stuff like this, guys. You're only destroying yourself. And that is a good thing.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining us. Talking about the media bias when it came to something as simple as a tree having to be removed from the White House because it's dying anyways and could cause some other trouble. And it being blamed on Melania Trump. It's funny, I saw over the weekend some people were commenting on some things I posted about Glenn always commenting how he didn't vote for Donald Trump. And I'm sure you got sick of Glenn talking about Donald Trump during the campaign, as did I. And you're probably sick of him reminding you he didn't vote for him. But that's part of that transparency. I, too, did not vote for Donald Trump because I vote for people with a track record. And the president didn't have any. I certainly didn't vote for Hillary. And I often remind people of this just so you know that if I praise the president, it's not coming from some sycophant. But also when I criticize him, I have offered praise at times. This is the consistency that I'm talking about. But we tell you this because we want you to know our biases so you understand. In spite of that, it's interesting to see how the media has spun such a simple story. It could have been simply historic decaying White House tree will be removed. Historic tree, it's decaying, White House tree to be removed. Newsweek had Melania Trump orders removal of near 200-year-old tree from White House. The Huffington Post shockingly gave it the its best due and still wasn't awesome. Melania Trump orders large portion of historic White House tree removed due to decay. They at least offered that up.
Thank you, Huffington Post.
There was an article on, I think it was the New York Times. They were talking about all of Donald Trump's failures. You know, it's the year end. We're coming up on his 1 year anniversary. You know, his first year in office. How did he do? Let's reevaluate that type of thing. And they just went down a list and just bashed the president. It's a long article. But in the first couple of paragraphs, they recount some stories, things that they heard him say about immigrants, things that were derogatory. It's secondhand information. It's not a quote. It's not a tweet. And there are plenty of those things that they could utilize. It's not like he's shy on social media, right? But while they're recounting these stories, while they're telling the stories, here's the quote. After they share one, it says, according to one person who attended the meeting and another person who was briefed about it by a different person who was there.
So it's this other guy told Ferris, 31 Flavors, that Ferris is sick. And
I heard from this girl who heard from somebody else, whoever heard somebody talking, that Ferris passed out at 31 Flavors last night. Guess it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
This is the New York Times. This is the, the gold standard of reporting. Journalism, they tell you. Who shared a story and said it was from a person who was briefed about it from a different person who was there. Well, New York Times, hell, that's accurate, sure. That's perfectly understandable. Who wouldn't believe that then? Could it be accurate?
That's highbrow journalism.
But isn't that suspect? If that's your... We heard it from somebody who somebody told that, and they were there. Somebody told somebody about it. Don't you remember the telephone game? Remember in school, the telephone? That's what it is. The New York Times is reporting style is television, or excuse me, telephone game. We write in this style, we write in that style. New York Times writes in telephone game style. Well, that's what we heard. We heard that's how it was. President Obama was interviewed over the weekend by Prince Harry. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't get that either. Here's a little clip, though. Listen to this.
The question, I think, really has to do with how do we harness this technology?
Social media.
In a way that allows a multiplicity of voices, allows a diversity of views, but doesn't lead to a balkanization.
Hold on a second. How do we harness social media? We have already harnessed social media that leads to a bunch of different voices. Yes, that's my whole point here. How do we harness it now? Get the hell out of the way. That's how you harness it.
Of our society, but rather continues to promote ways of finding common ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure government can legislate that, but what I do believe is that all of us in leadership have to find ways in which we can recreate a common space on the internet. Mm-hmm. One of the dangers of the internet is that people can have entirely different realities. They can be just cocooned in information that reinforces current biases.
Hold on. He's challenging that people can have different realities and that's wrong. Aren't the progressives the one who tell us that you can identify as anybody else? You can identify as a man if you're a woman. You can identify as Fiddler Crab. You can identify as anything.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. If you want to join the program, 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. But a really good way to join the program is via Twitter. please follow me at Doc Thompson Show. Tweet at Doc Thompson Show. We also use the hashtag What I Learned Today throughout our morning broadcast. So if you want to use that, you'll probably be found a little quicker as we go through some tweets. Again, at Doc Thompson Show, please follow me. And it's the hashtag What I Learned Today. Kara tweeting, if it were a tree planted by a Confederate soldier, how would the media and left react? All right, Kara, you're on to something there. Andrew Jackson is being removed from the $20 bill. Do you know why he's being removed from the $20 bill? Yes, because of a progressive agenda. More specifically, their claims, though, racism. You know, he was the Indian killer. You know what a racist he was. Indian Removal Act. You know, killed all the Indians. Clearly a racist. Gotta go. Let's put somebody else that's not a racist on the $20 bill. That's the big push. We got to put a woman. It's got to be a minority. But specifically the 20, because Andrew Jackson was such a bad racist dude. The tree that he planted was for years represented on the $20 bill. If you look at a picture of the White House, it was on the back of it. There's the tree. So he and his racist tree on the back, yet they want to attack Melania Trump. Shouldn't they have written, hero Melania Trump cuts down that racist tree?
You're right.
Seriously. They want him removed from the $20 bill, but a tree that most people don't know the history of. Melania Trump taking down this historic tree planted by the beloved Andrew Jackson.
When it's defiling the White House lawn.
Right, exactly. When it's the 20, he's that racist Andrew Jackson. When it comes to a tree because of Melania Trump, he's the beloved Andrew Jackson. Who did it? Who planted it because...
You know, if it was Michelle who loved had removed wife. The tree, it would have been Michelle saves dying tree out of agony.
Puts it out of its misery.
Puts it out of its misery. That's the tree had tree cancer and it gave it to Flashfish.
They have taken saplings from that tree and given them to other world leaders, and people have planted them, whatever. So just interesting little thing about it. But yeah, it's all the spin. By the way, NBC tweeted the number of days in office for Trump, days Trump properties, days at golf properties. They're keeping track. A little meme they tweeted out where they're keeping track of his days. And I was like, wow, that's great. I don't recall you tracking President Obama's days golfing or vacationing in 2009. Can you please repost that story? I don't recall, so I don't want to say you didn't. I'll assume you did, unbiased NBC News, wink, wink, wink. Can you repost the story? I just want to be able to compare the two. Where's the consistency? How do you do it? I just can't do it. Even though we talk about values and ideas and we share our opinions, I just cannot leave out something and not be consistent and call out people that are not doing the same thing. It just drives me up the wall. I don't know how they do it. How do you live in that little bubble where you drive down the road pretending that your dude or your side or your party or somebody you know didn't do the same crap? I don't understand it. So that was some of the bias from the media over the last couple of weeks about President Trump. Let's talk about the truth now. As I mentioned, yes, Glenn Beck did not vote for or support President Trump. I did not as well. But we've been pretty honest since he's been president. Calling the balls and strikes as we see them. Is that good or is that bad? And early on, the first big thing President Trump did was appoint Neil Gorsuch. And by some people's desire or reason they voted for him, that was enough. Fill that seat that was vacated by Antonin Scalia with a true conservative. Maybe that was enough. And I give him high marks for that. Then the following couple months, not a lot got done. There were some things I didn't like, a little bombastic. I still gave him high marks. Okay. And that's kind of been the malaise, I think, through most of the summer. Little stories here and there, and the media just obsesses about his tweets and fake news claims and all this stuff, that I really had not done the math. I didn't add up what the president has accomplished. Because, by the way, Did they repeal Obamacare? Nope. Didn't get it done. A lot of stuff that we were hoping they get done, they didn't get done. But that's they, the party, including the Republicans in Congress. If you look at President Trump's track record, it was a pretty good year. Shockingly good year. When I went down the list to prepare for today, I got to give the guy credit. So Neil Gorsuch, he did sign the tax reform bill. Now, Congress did a lot of that work, so give them their due. President did use the bully pulpit and suggest, dropping the corporate tax rate down to 20%. It ended up being 21, still good. But he did sign it and support it and got behind it. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, said they're going to move the embassy. Okay, that's pretty big for people who supported him, who support Israel, and say that's what should happen there. That is a huge step that everybody else has kicked the can down the road. Right? I mean, Clinton did it, Bush did it, Obama did it, all when they're campaigning. Absolutely. Got to be in Jerusalem. That's American policy since the 90s or whatever. Are you going to do it?
Well.
So you support it. Oh, absolutely. But you're going to move it then.
Well, I don't know.
That's what they do, right? Because they're playing both sides. They're playing politics. He said, no, we're going to do it. So, okay. He signed an executive order that demanded that two regulations be killed for every new one that it creates. And when that happened, I said, fantastic, if they do it. So far, he has. He's eliminated more than he's created. It's by a huge margin. I can't remember the percentage. It's like 8-1 or something. They've actually done it. He cut 16 rules and regulations for every one, but that's an old statistic from months ago. So I don't know what the actual updated number is, but it's at least that. And according to, and this is a little loose, it saves $8.1 billion. That metric is a little off. I hate to show them, but the number of rules and regulations cut versus created is true. He signed 15 congressional regulatory cuts by themselves. He withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement. Okay, that's pretty significant.
People flipped out over that one.
They did, and when it was out, I even talked about it. But looking back, now even more significant than I realized at the time, because there's a lot going on, you know what I mean? Signed an executive order cutting the time for infrastructure permit approvals. Okay, that's a little less, but still solid. He withdrew from the TPP. Huge. And I remember why I didn't give him enough credit for that one. Because it was not, we're pulling out of the TPP. It was we're going to do this. We think we're going to do that. Yeah, we pulled out. It was, he's almost not doing himself a service as people. Yeah. Because when some of the stuff he campaigns on, then when it comes down to it, there's a moment of hesitation. Maybe they're just playing the media, whatever it is, and then they do it. But during that hesitation, I'm like, God, he's not doing it or whatever. And then, oh, okay, great, he did it. So it doesn't get, it's not like he rode into town and said, here's all the stuff I'm going to do. We're pulling out of this stuff, boom, 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 and you go, hooray. But that's the reason I want to bring up the facts and go down the list. He started renegotiating NAFTA. Now, that was not as big an issue for some people, but it's worth looking at. He ended Obama's deal with Cuba. Awesome. Why all of a sudden did we suddenly say, yeah, Cuba's not a problem? He opened up 77 million acres of the Gulf of Mexico for oil and gas drilling. Solid thing. Expanded some of the different infrastructure projects when it comes to energy, like the Keystone Pipeline. Awesome. He ordered the EPA to kill Obama's Clean Power Plan. Awesome. And as part of that, he rolled back Obama's attempt to regulate all U.S. waterways. Remember, he was using the Clean Water Act, that even literally the mud puddle behind your house could have been covered. The federal government would have jurisdiction over, which is ridiculous. It was never designed for that. He rolled that back. Laid out and challenged now new plans to challenge and stop chain migration. Ended Obama's catch and release program of illegals. Has arrested more illegals inside the U.S. now. Started the end of DACA. That's another one that he kind of waffled on when it came down to it, or it seemed like he was going to waffle, but ended up doing the right thing. Attempted to, and in some ways have, cracked down on sanctuary cities. Of course, that's being challenged. There was challenged to the Supreme Court, and they said that he can't do it, but he did the right thing, did everything within his power as far as that goes. Has added 100 additional immigration judges to start processing those cases. Awesome. Reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy, which is misleading. It has nothing to really do with Mexico City or immigration or anything like that. That's the money, the foreign aid that is used for abortions, where people get money in foreign aid form and they can use it for abortion. And he rolled that back. He withdrew from the UN Global Compact on Migration, which is wonderful. They have just said that they are going to, this is the last couple days, Nikki Haley announced that they are cutting UN funding. He signed the VA Whistleblower Act to crack down, and as part of that, the Veterans Appeal Improvement and Modernization Act, and signed the VA Choice and Quality Employment Act. Now, those are all good steps. More has to be done. Much, much more with the VA. But that's far more than Obama did with that. Just the Whistle Protection Act and their ability to now hold people accountable where they can be fired. Now, as soon as he took office, he fired a bunch of people in the VA at the top. Some of them got their jobs back. That's no fault of his. That ended up being unions and courts and everything else. But the president did what was right. Net neutrality wasn't him directly, but on his watch, with his support, one of his guys.
Didn't he appoint?
One of them.
That guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't get to appoint all of them because you still got Mignon Clyburn. Mm. Filet Mignon Clyburn. Do you know that's Jim Clyburn's daughter? James Clyburn.
No, I didn't
the
know.
The forever congressman from South Carolina. She has no history of telecommunications, anything like that, but she works for the FCC. Yeah, she got her job fair and square, I'm sure. So these are just some of the things that President Trump has done. From a conservative libertarian standpoint, that's pretty solid. Any of the other failures of things like Obamacare, could he have led more on it? Could he have said, we specifically need just a repeal, use the bully pulpit more? Maybe. But if you had asked me a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, my opinion on all of these, how do you want a president to rule on this, 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 and vote and rescind and executive order, whatever, I would have supported these.
At least with the Obamacare, didn't he get the fine removed? Like you don't,
yes,
you don't get fined anymore.
Right, exactly. There's the teeth are out of it. You still have to have it by law,
but you're not fined.
But you're not going to be fined anymore. So that's, so little bits. I mean, I'm wanting a grander statement of change, but as far as President Trump has gone, when I look back at all of the stuff over the last year, he has used his office with most of these actions the right way. And this is, in many cases, rolling back many of the problems, many of the things that Obama did, some of it unconstitutionally, during his 8 years. It's going to take a while. That's the truth.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn today, going down some tweets at Doc Thompson Show. I'm a Doc Thompson fan for life after hearing a perfect Ferris Bueller Day Off quote. I don't know if it's perfect, but it's pretty close. Ed, with your bad knee, you shouldn't be throwing anybody. Let's see, Dynamite 1122. If Doc Thompson had, or excuse me, if Donald Trump had stuck to his campaign promise of a 15% corporate tax rate and ended up at 16 or 18, that would have been respectable. To have an opening bid of 20% in the tax bill, nah, that's a fail. You know what? I'm going to give you that. My telling you Donald Trump's success, the successes I just went down, is not a complete endorsement. There's still some things that I want done better and more. I just want to give the guy credit where it's due. There's been a lot of good. Yes, there were things he promised that should have happened differently. Some that you knew he's not going to build a wall. It's not going to happen, whether you like it or not. I would have preferred a 0% corporate tax rate. None. Eliminate it. That's what we really need.
He did come out of the gate kind of soft with the tax bill.
Absolutely, he did. Yes, he should have started at 15.
Should have started at abolish the IRS.
Right. I want complete tax reform. I don't want them to end here. As long as they don't stop here. You know, next we need spending reform and then revisit tax reform and go full fair tax or flat tax or something. But the tax bill is better. To go from 34 to 21, much better. As long as they don't stop. Some of this is done incrementally. Yeah, I'll give you, he should have gone bigger with it. But it is better. We'll get some of your calls coming up. Keep tweeting at Doc Thompson Show. At Doc Thompson Show.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today. I'll be with you tomorrow as well. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Doc Thompson Show, and I'll engage with you as well. We'll find out what you learned throughout the program with the hashtag What I Learned Today. And we'll get some calls coming up. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Over the past few years on our morning radio broadcast on the Blaze Radio Network, and you can find out more about me at theblazeradio.com. It's theblazeradio.com. We have focused on free markets and freedom. The idea that these things are really good. And I know you're like, well, yeah, of course they're good. But the problem is, capitalism has become a bad word. Socialism has become, as you know, just this norm, accepted, wonderful, starry-eyed way to go. Just bizarre that we've gotten to that. From my earliest memories, I learned the truth about socialism. Socialism is an unsustainable political structure or social structure that will lead to one of several evil, oppressive governments. Fascism, communism, theocracies, any of these things. Start with the idea of socialism. Somebody can orchestrate the perfect society by dictating how you live, how much you must give, redistributing what everybody has. It's unsustainable and leads to some sort of totalitarianism. It gets the support of the masses from the concept of, well, you don't have enough, so we'll go get it from those people, and the government will tell them how much they can have, and you get to have some of theirs. It all starts off with the noblest of causes and always ends the same way. One bad society. We're seeing a living example of that throughout 2017 in Venezuela. An absolute disaster. That's what always ends up happening. The countries that have been totalitarian regimes that have had increased successes over the last few years, decades, are countries who have gone away from that. Countries like China, for example, and taken up more capitalist policies. So we support the idea of free markets, and not just bitching about the little snowflakes who support socialism in their safe spaces on college campuses and why socialism is so wonderful. Bernie, 2020. But the good news and positive ideas and positive outcomes from capitalism and free markets and letting people decide for themselves how to live. And we're going to do even more of that in 2018. We offer free commercials to people on the air. You got a business? Email me. buildingamericaattheblaze.com. We spotlight businesses just to say, hey, here's your jumpstart because marketing's difficult and expensive. And we're going to do even more of that in 2018. We got some huge ideas coming up that are going to help you. Even if it's not a full business, you just have a little side stream of income. Ideas, practical things that are going to help. Helping you and helping people understand the positive of free markets is where we're going in 2018. So please join us on our program. Again, buildingamericaattheblaze.com if you want to be spotlighted on our show. All right, we'll get some calls before we move on and get some other things happening in the world today. Let's go to line 44. Jerry in Wisconsin, you are on the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
Hey, Doc. You're probably right. There's probably sometimes where the media has been unfair to Donald Trump. I'm not going to completely deny that. But considering what Donald Trump has said about the media, he has called the media the enemy of the American people. He has stated it's disgusting that the American press, that the media has the right to report what they want. He's literally a fascist. You're a libertarian. He's a fascist. He's an authoritarian. He has contempt and disdain for the First Amendment. His quotes are nothing different than what Mussolini might say. He has disdain for our idea for the press to report. The only media he likes is media that parrots what he says and that praises him, like Fox News. This is a man who just shouldn't be president. He has contempt for the First Amendment and what our founding fathers gave us.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't be president. What do you mean by that?
Because he has contempt for the Constitution. He has contempt for the right of a free press, as I stated. He said it was disgusting that the media has the right to report what they do.
Let me ask you something. Hang on one second, Jerry. Hang on one second. We'll let you talk some more. I just want to explore one thing here. Is Donald Trump over the age of 35?
Yeah.
Is he a natural born citizen?
I didn't say that he was eligible. I said he shouldn't be.
Okay, well, he became president based on the Constitution.
Yes. Mussolini became the leader of Italy. Should Mussolini became the leader of Italy? Do you think it was a great thing that Mussolini became the leader of Italy? Because I don't.
No, you're conflating it. People supported him, and people have a difference of opinion. Now, you can say you don't support his ideas, but I hate this idea of shouldn't be and not my president and all of that nonsense.
Not my president.
Okay, I just
shouldn't be.
Okay,
he should not be. Like Republicans said the same thing about Obama when Obama was president for 8 years. They said the exact same thing. I'm saying the same thing about Trump. He shouldn't be.
Meaning you don't want him to be president. You wish he was not president.
And mentally, he's deranged.
Okay.
He's a narcissist. He's emotionally immature. He's completely unqualified. He's president, but he's a horrible president. That's the point.
Okay. Now you're basing that on you having different values than him. Is that why you're saying he's a horrible president?
I've been listening to him for the last 20 years.
Okay. Give me a couple of specifics of him when you say he's a horrible president.
Well, okay. Again, the war on the media, the war on freedom of the press.
Hold on one second. We're taking these one at a time here, Jerry. It's conversation here. One at a time.
Okay.
So the war on the press. Do you mean the war on the press where he has challenged people like Jim Acosta and said that's fake news? Is that what you mean by it?
Well, what one? That's wrong. But anyway, again.
No, hold on, Jerry. I want to explore these. Hold on. It's a conversation.
You're ignoring what I said.
Hang on, Jerry. We're going to get to this stuff. It's a conversation, Jerry. Hold on. So are you talking about stuff like Jim Acosta where he has challenged them and said, sit down, you're fake news and stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, anything they report, he calls fake news. Even if the reporting is exactly right, because to Donald Trump, anything that's not in his reality is fake news. He praises news that praises him, like Fox News, which is the propaganda arm of Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
And Jerry, you really are going to say those things without calling out President Obama for his closed-door special meetings with certain members of the media? You're not going to call out MSNBC for being his talking surrogate during his platform, during his presidency? You're not going to be consistent?
Okay, they did favor President Obama. That's true. Yes.
No, Jerry. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold it. No. They did not favor him. They promoted him. They, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC.
Liberal media.
Jerry, no, don't give me that.
Liberal media.
See, this is the reason people can't have discussions, Jerry. This is the reason. I'm admitting Donald Trump, of course, likes media that is going to favor him. And yes, Fox News praises him because they are a right-wing media outlet, of course. But you're not willing to give that due? You're not willing to be consistent? You've lost credibility if you're not willing to point out that the other media outlets rabidly, blindly supported President Obama because they are progressives.
Okay, the rapidly blindly no, but
they hold on. Do you work? Hold on a second. Hold on. Do you work in the media? Do you work in the media?
No.
Okay. I work in the media. My wife works in the media. She works in television media. And I can tell you, overwhelmingly, people in the media are progressive. It's not even close. It's not even, well, it's 60-40. It's like 80-20, 90-10, the number of progressives. It's true.
You know what that
is?
But
you don't even know. Hold on, Jared. You don't even need to know that, though, to look at the reporting. I can't believe you would defend this knowing. Just admit it. Right? Wait, yeah. Listen, is Rush Limbaugh, is Glenn Beck, are they on the right? Yes, I'm not disputing that. Hey, were they critical of Obama because they didn't like his policies? Yes, I'm not disputing that. So why wouldn't you simply hold people accountable to have the credibility so we can have honest discussions? Why do you make me go through this when you know the truth?
Okay, know the truth. One, even MSNBC, they're not as biased as Fox News. And two, probably one of the reasons why so many people in the media are on the left.
Jerry, you've lost all credibility when you say they're not. Hold it. We can't argue here. Hold it. When you say they're not as biased, you've lost all credibility. You know that's not the truth.
Well, Doc, still don't answer me. Are you fine with Donald Trump saying the media was discussing that they have the right to report what they did? Because to me, that's disdain and contempt for our founding fathers.
No, I have no problem with him saying the media is disgusting.
No, they're disgusting. It's disgusting they have the right to report and publish. He believes that the media shouldn't have the right. He believes the media shouldn't have the right in the First Amendment that James Madison.
Jerry, hold it. Stop, Jerry, stop with the historical lesson. Trust me, I understand the First Amendment. I understand that. No, of course the freedom of the press is solid. It's absolute. Of course it is. And anybody who says, whether it's Donald Trump or President Obama, is wrong. Do you remember President Obama calling out Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh? Do you remember him calling out Fox News? Do you remember those things?
It's disgusting. I don't remember him saying it's disgusting that Sean Hannity can report what he wants. You tell me when President Obama said that, and I will apologize and take back any position. You tell me when President Obama said it was disgusting for the media to do that.
When he called them out for their biases and not admitting the other, so you're hung up on the word disgusting? Jerry, you know the truth here. I'm not arguing that Fox News is biased, and I'm not arguing that President Trump shouldn't say people don't have a right to report. Of course they do. They can report opinion for that matter. I just prefer them to be transparent up front. But the fact that you and others are not being consistent now because you simply do not like policies of his and you may not like the way he presents himself, you've lost all credibility. You are
Jerry, you are actually the
problem. If you
He's
want, stop. We're not going down that road. I'm talking about your lack of credibility right now. How are we supposed to find common ground and have discussions when you know the truth and you can't just simply admit that?
Know the truth as you stating what I should know the truth. Again, I said,
Jerry, you've exposed yourself.
CNN are probably somewhat on the left.
No, probably. No, Jerry, no. Hold it a second. There's no probably with this, Jerry. There's no probably with, well, yeah, they are. Just admit it. MSNBC is every bit as progressive as Fox News is conservative. I'm willing to concede. Fox News, absolutely the same. But on the other side, CNN, absolutely. I'm not trying to say, oh, Fox News isn't, Fox News is right. And of course, I work for the Blaze. We are from a right-leaning perspective. Of course, we're admitting it. We will never get beyond this stuff. We will never find solutions. We will never find common grounds that you supposedly want. You want to have discussions? We got to have a conversation on race in America. We can never have any conversations on this stuff. Because you will not be consistent. Because that is not what a progressive is. It is a cornerstone of progressivism, which you are, to not be consistent.
Doc, on that, because that's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
And there you go. There it is. Willing to have a conversation. But he's a fascist and whatever, whatever. I'm willing to discuss with you. We can find common ground. But if you're going to start with those people are worse and it didn't happen here, President Trump should not say people do not have a right to report. Of course they do. And the things where he has tweeted, suggested, said things like that, absolutely wrong. The First Amendment is absolute. Period. He was wrong. Calling the media out, I have no problem with. I have no problem challenging the media and reporting. Why can't you? Why can't you as president or a senator or a governor? Of course you can call people out. I had no problem with President Obama calling media sources out as long as he was being consistent and willing to admit that he has these little backdoor meetings, special private little, hey, can you guys report on this and not that meetings with people at the White House. You're not being honest. You're not being transparent. Long as you do that and you're consistent, we can move forward. We can find solutions. But until you do, yeah, it actually gives me a little bit of pleasure when President Trump beats up on the media. Because finally, somebody calls them out. Unlike you. This is Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hi, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. I hope you had a good Christmas. Hope you had some good time off. Maybe you're still off, and I hope you hope you're enjoying yourself. And I hope 2018 brings you and your family many, many blessings. 2017 brought me a lot of blessings, and Cal, who's with me in the morning blaze, brought him quite a few blessings as well, including both of us additional children. Cal, a little baby girl, and me, a baby boy recently.
Yeah, baby's in the house.
How old is your daughter, your second daughter now?
She is about 5 months.
So my son was born just a few weeks ago, and it's been a great time. Just you know, first Christmas and that. Then I got the bill from the hospital, which I wasn't expecting. It was $3,000 more than I expected, and that was kind of a sucker punch. And I was really ticked because I was led to believe it would be less than that and whatever. And then I go, well, you know, the bigger issue is he's healthy and happy, and I was happy about that. But still, right. Just, you know, annoys you. We don't have unlimited funds, you know,
no,
stuff like that.
By no means.
$3,000, you know.
What bugs me is that it, like, you get, I got literally maybe six different bills that all accumulated up to a total. I didn't get one bill saying, okay, here's what it costs you. I got different bills from different, I guess, departments who
they just roll
did
in.
Different things. So and even after I pay, like I you know, they give you a discount if you pay it in full. So I put it on a credit card because I don't have, you know, I was like $4,000 or $5,000. I put on a credit card so I can bring the price down, and I'm still getting bills
from others. Yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute, you told me this would be the thing, and every time we call them, they're like, oh, just ignore that.
I'm well, like, this'll make you feel better because it made me feel a little bit better. So my baby, my son, newest son, came home a couple weeks ago. And then I read a story about a police officer from St. Peter's, Missouri, who had his second child on December 4th. His little baby girl named Caitlin. His first son was born in May of 2014. His daughter Caitlin was born December 4th. He hasn't been able to spend much time with her because that was the same week he found out that his cancer had returned. This is a police officer from St. Peter's, Missouri, who is only 36 years of age. He's a Marine veteran. And in 2011, right after he met his wife, found out that he had some cancerous cells on his tongue, had to have part of his tongue removed and radiation therapy, and was clean, clear of cancer for 5 years. And right as his daughter was born, a joyous time, he finds out he has cancer again. And just a few days before Christmas, while we were preparing for Christmas, he had a glossectomy, which is a partial or full removal of his tongue. Your tongue is responsible for so much: speech and tasting of food and moving food in your mouth and swallowing. And this is what he's been suffering with, not even able to spend time with his baby girl. So while I was upset about the bills, and then I read his story and was like, well, at least I'm home and I didn't have my tongue removed. He's been going through reconstructed surgery to try to help him. He's still in the hospital. He never smoked. He never used tobacco, never dipped. He's a non-drinker. And this is what he's suffering with. So as part of Glenn's efforts on this program to help as many people as we can, if you would, please consider donating to Brian Bresnahan. go to GoFundMe.com/Bresnahan-family. Bresnahan-family. If you can even help him out, donate $5, $10, whatever. This is a police officer and Marine veteran who needs your help. I'll also tweet out a link on my Twitter account. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Or, again, GoFundMe.com/Bresnahan-family. Bresnahan-family.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Last November saw another record in American history. It's not necessarily a good record. Well, I mean, it's not a bad one, but when you know the full story, it's not a good situation. In November, nearly 62 million people received Social Security benefits. That is a record high number in American history. 62 million. There's just shy of 330 million Americans. 62 million receiving Social Security benefits. Well, I say it's not necessarily a bad thing that people are retired and receiving money. That's fine. But when you know the full system and you realize how it's strained and how unsustainable it is, and still we have not addressed it, when you realize what a Ponzi scheme Social Security is, you realize that's not a good thing. It's not sustainable. It is a failure. Parts of it are absolutely evil. Yeah, you don't hear many people challenge that because for years, Social Security was kind of a third rail. You just accepted that people want it and like it. Well, yeah, if you're retired and on Social Security and you hear people challenge the notion of Social Security, you're like, whoa, 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 defend what I'm getting. I would never suggest pulling the rug out from underneath people. But over the long haul, this is a system that has to be changed. Let me explain why. In addition to the 62 million people receiving Social Security, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that currently there are 126 million full-time workers in the U.S. So that is just over two full-time workers for each person receiving Social Security. The notion of Social Security was sold as, okay, everybody makes money, and you pay into this pot, and it grows, and it makes interest, and then when you retire, that money will be there. That's not really how it is. As soon as the government saw big money, those DC people that just like to spend, as soon as they saw millions and then billions of dollars and hundreds of billions and into the trillions of money in Social Security, they went and robbed that lockbox. Remember the lockbox? We'll put it in a lockbox. There's no lockbox. They took and spent that money and essentially replaced it with IOUs. Don't worry, we took this money for some stuff. We'll always pay those Social Security benefits. Don't worry. They commingled the monies. Instead of having an account over here that's Social Security money that everybody pays into and then we pay money out of it, they just essentially put it in one big general fund with all the other monies. Well, since we have deficits every year and a growing national debt that is now over $20 trillion, they have to pay those out of whatever we take in every month. And knowing that we have all that debt on top of this sets up a pretty bleak future unless we do something. When this was sold to people, it wasn't just you'll pay into it, but they also said how many people would be paying into it versus how many people are taking money out. And at one point, it was five, six people paying into it versus people taking out. That's when those baby boomers were all working. Huge percentage of the population paying in with only a small percent taking out. Right now, 10,000 baby boomers retire every day. 10,000 every day. So now we're down to two people paying in for everybody that takes money out. And it's not paying in again to that closed fund. It goes into the general fund. At some point, it'll be 1-to-1. And then 1-to-2. And we'll be paying for it. that's unsustainable. That means money that we spend or would spend on other things is going to have to go towards this because of a bad system to begin with and then mismanagement of a bad system. The mismanagement being not adjusting for inflation, not adjusting for life expectancy and retirement ages and adjusting all of these things. But it was failed to begin with because you don't get the money. Not in every case. You could pay in and work hard your entire life, then die as you retire. You could die the day after you retire and not collect one penny of all that money you paid into it. Meanwhile, somebody who has barely worked, done the bare minimum, could retire at, what is it, 67 now? Maybe a few years ago, retired at 65 and lived to be 130. More year, taking more years than they ever paid into it with the bare minimum and collect and collect. All of these things are possible. It's a failed system. If you retire having some sort of retirement account you've paid into your whole life and die, that money can still go to your family. Social Security? No. Not unless they're a minor and you die early and then they can collect up until they're 18. The number of people that scam the system. The fact that Social Security actually is not a livable wage. Unless you paid off your house or something like that and really made good money where you get the upper level, it's not livable by itself. It doesn't adjust for inflation. Let's stop the insanity of Social Security. No, people that are near retirement or retired, not suggesting we pull the rug out from underneath you. Here's the solution. We set a plan in motion to slowly wind down Social Security over the next 10, 15, whatever years. That if you are retired and you're getting Social Security, you will get it even if you live to be 170. If you are near retirement, you will get it. If you're halfway to retirement in there, we're going to have to make some adjustments. You're going to get what you paid into at least. You're going to get some of that money, but you have time to still make some other plans. And we can make sure it's a smooth transition so you're not screwed. People on the younger side, on the lower end, you're going to have to pay some monies in even though you're not going to get some of that out. Frustrating, horrible, yeah, but that's how it's got to be. And we all end up paying for things that we don't want anyways. This is part of the system. But under the Doc Thompson plan, if we adjust the true tax reform, you should be able to have other tax benefits that'll offset that so you're in no worse shape. We simply set a true, fair, and flat tax, and with that, spending reform, where we stop wasting money on stuff we don't need, wind down things like the Department of Education, which just takes a handling fee at the federal level to redistribute the money back to the states. We stop growing the federal government, and we return that money to the people. With a grand plan like this, we can finally get out from underneath this evil system of Social Security that takes and doesn't always give even though you've worked. And a system that is unsustainable and likely to go bankrupt anyways. And there's going to be only one way to prop it up if you want it propped up. When it eventually fails, they're just going to say we must raise taxes on some level or raise your contributions to Social Security significantly to pay for other people that are on it right now. It's wrong. I will reluctantly, even though a libertarian, go along with the idea that we will force people to pay for their own retirement. You must take 5, 10, whatever percent we decide and put it into something you can't touch until you retire, so you'll force them to be responsible. I hate the notion. But versus having Social Security around, I'm fine with it. We can at least move to that. Because that is a system where you'll at least get what you paid into it. You can at least give it to your children if you die. All right, we get some phone calls. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Talk about some of the things going on. Some people wanted to touch more on the tax bill. Let's go to West Virginia, the Mountain State. Bill, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to address this tax bill from the standpoint of part of it is going to cause some inflation net from the people we're getting this money back. Some of it should have been tied to savings, like you were saying, people with their retirement and stuff like that. But these big states, they're going to see this money coming in, these people getting these tax cuts, and these taxaholics in their legislatures are going to say, well, gee whiz, I can raise that income tax there now if these people got this money. So the federal government tax, they're actually subsidizing increases in governments in these big states in that manner, Ned. But it's been a Federal Reserve economy from the standpoint of these very low interest rates. That's what allowed Obama to take and throw all this regulation in. He was covered with a low interest rate so people could buy houses, very low costs and that, and their vehicles, you know, interest rate-wise and that. But it's been a Federal Reserve economy and that, and the little saver's been getting screwed on this thing. You know, if you got money in a savings account, you're lucky if you get 0.5%. Well, inflation's 2 or 3%, so they shouldn't be paying any taxes on that at all. The people are trying to take and do stand on their own 2 feet. You know, with like an emergency fund.
No, you're right. You bring up a lot of good points there. So let's touch on some of them. One of the failures of keeping the interest rates low is that it also affects people who are getting paid because they're saving money. It benefits the spenders, but punishes, in some regard, the savers. Now, there are other, obviously, vehicles for investment. But you're right. In general, that's a problem. And it's always been frustrating to me how they manipulate this. It's not the government's job, and it's certainly not the federal government or the Federal Reserve's job. They shouldn't even be around to manipulate interest rates, to regulate this stuff. Bill, I don't want it regulated. I'm willing to have it be sporadic because I'll save during the lean times for the fatty times.
Well, I agree with Harley on that. You know, with regard to the people, these states and that, they get this. Like I say, they're going to see this money coming in to these people in their refunds and that, and they're going to say, hey, the taxaholics and the legislators are going to say, hey, we can raise their taxes and that.
Now, what has to happen there, Bill, is the legislatures, we have to make sure in our individual states that they don't do that. You know, this is up to the individuals to say, in my state, I don't want you to play this game. We got to be aware.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but you got places like California and New York and New Jersey and that they're totally insane with raising taxes and bloating their what they're doing is we're helping to grow their governments with the tax cuts and that rather than getting these people to save some money so they're not beholden to the government. They get their hand out all the time to the government if something does hit them.
Well, then I think in part of the solution, as I've said on my radio show, this is just step one to me. I didn't love this bill. I didn't get everything I wanted. This is not an A+. This was a better than average. In my opinion, this was probably a B- bill, maybe a B. I want true tax reform. I either want a flat or a fair tax, no exemptions, deductions, exceptions. Just pay your 10% income or pay your 10% national sales tax, whatever it is, and be done with this thing. Until we have that, we probably need some incremental change like this. I think this will help, but there's certainly some problems or questions too.
Well, I'm all for the flat tax, like you say. I think the government's the biggest purveyor of identity theft with all the information you have to put out for taxes.
That's another thing. You're 100% right on that. They like that control method or mechanism that's in place from top to bottom with it. But Bill, thanks so much for the call. What part of West Virginia are you in today? Whoops, I just missed you. Thanks, Cal. I wasn't done talking to him. You hit the button.
Thanks for the call. That usually, you know.
Wow, man. That's such a fail.
Bill.
Sorry, Bill. I was curious there. Let's go to Maryland and Indiana, the Hoosier State. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well.
It's probably going to boil down to a statement, but I don't understand the people that they don't understand why the businesses get the tax cut. That's what's keeping the businesses in our country. And I don't know if they're not thinking. But they need to have their taxes cut. They're the people that provide us with the jobs. And I don't know how they're thinking, but that's the way I feel about it.
No, Marilyn, you're right about that. They miss that point, and they go, it's trickle-down economics doesn't work. Well, first of all, it does work, and I hate the term trickle-down. That was a failure to begin with. It's flood-down is what it is. It's a flood everywhere when you have prosperous businesses. But, Marilyn, there's another point. They tell us that those businesses shouldn't get a tax break because they're evil corporations. But aren't they the ones who also argued that corporations aren't people? They're the ones who said that over and over. So why are we taxing them, Marilyn?
Well, How's the country going to run if we don't pay taxes?
Well, I mean, taxing the businesses is what I mean. Why are they taxing them, right? They're not people.
I think they should be taxed, but they don't need to be taxed so bad that they have to leave the country where they get a better deal.
Marilyn, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Back with more on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck and one of my partners in the morning on the Blaze Radio Network, theblazeradio.com. Cal, this is his favorite time of the year. Loves this time of the year because the Golden Globes are coming up in early January. January. So I know you love the Golden.
You're such a huge fan. I didn't even know the...
You wait every year. You're like, Doc, the Golden Globes are coming there.
Not really.
You don't really? Nah, I thought that's really what you... Oh, interesting. But, okay.
Sure.
Okay. Well, they are coming up and they're protesting this year, Cal. They're protesting.
Shocker. What are they protesting?
They're protesting. They're planning a protest. A bunch of actresses about the sexual harassment in Hollywood.
Pound me too?
Yes. Hashtag me. This is hashtag
me
too.
Hashtag me too.
I know that's pound sign.
It's a pound sign.
Hashtag me too. No.
Okay.
They're only going to wear black.
Then they'll usually just wear black.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's not
a
protest.
Formal, isn't it like, you know,
that's not shocking.
Gowns?
Right. I'm like,
all in black.
That's just good fashion sense. Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to make a statement, they'd wear nothing but like Crocs and hammer pants. Yeah. I mean, then you're protesting.
Now you're making a statement.
I mean, all black, the little black dress, that's just like good fashion, right?
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck, and thank you so much if you've donated to Brian Bresnahan's GoFundMe page. Brian Bresnahan is a Marine who is just 36 years of age. He retired from the service or left the service years ago and became a police officer in St. Peter's, Missouri. He just had at least part of his tongue removed because of cancer. He's got a new baby daughter at home that he hasn't even been able to spend time with because he was going through this surgery while most of us were celebrating Christmas at home. And as a police officer with two children, it's not like the guy's getting rich. So he could really use your help. He's non-smoker, non-drinker. He didn't chew. He just ended up with this mouth cancer. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And already people have raised $15,000 for him. So that's going to be a huge help. The bills alone could eat that up in seconds. I'd love to see that go up by about tenfold. So if you can give even $5, $10, it's GoFundMe.com/Bresnahan-family. Bresnahan-family. And I'll tweet out a link to it. It's also my Facebook page, too. Both of them are at Doc Thompson Show or slash Doc Thompson Show. And again, it's Brian Bresnahan. So Bresnahan-family. St. Peter's, Missouri. Thank you so much. It's just a nice way for we that do not believe it's the government's responsibility to take care of our fellow man, but ours to do something. Even $5-$10 goes a long way. Already $15,000. So thank you so much if you've donated, and I wish his family the best. Odd story over the weekend that touches a whole lot of different things going on. First of all, over the last year, one of the biggest stories, it's probably the Me Too campaign, hashtag Me Too. Claims of sexual harassment, some of them founded, some of them unfounded. The conflating of sexual harassment and sexual assault. The idea that feminists have pushed this idea that only women can be sexually assaulted or harassed. So many failures in 2017 about this. It's not going to stop. My speculation after we get beyond the holidays that you're going to see some other prominent figures likely taken down by this as well. Well, because people are going to wait. If they want their pound of flesh, if they want to destroy a career, you don't release the information or the expose during the holidays where it gets buried. You want to do it on a slow news day after the first of the year. We got to get a handle on this. We have to get a handle on it because although exposure, sunlight, transparency, things being said, no more secrets being good when it comes to this stuff, because secrets protect people, people who do wrong. They're also taking down a lot of people with allegations that aren't true. And they're conflating a lot of different things. So first of all, we must realize that allegations are allegations, period. All women are to be believed has been a part of the campaign. Every woman is to be believed. What does that mean? What are you saying when you say everyone deserves or should be believed? What do you mean by that? Believed, so therefore we don't investigate? Their word is gold? That as long as they make the accusation, the person is guilty? Is that really what you mean? If it's not, you better start clarifying, because I'm not subscribing to that. That's wrong. If what you're saying is, hey, Doc, listen, 20 years ago, if a woman in an office claimed that somebody sexually harassed her or assaulted her, often people would say, it didn't really happen. You're trying to bring down a good man. And they would brush it under the rug, and the woman, her claims would never be investigated. And they should be investigated. That's what we mean by always believed. Okay, I subscribe to that. Of course, if somebody claims something, you investigate it. That's how it's supposed to work, both in the court of public opinion and also when it comes to law enforcement. Law enforcement officers, those of you who work in law enforcement understand this. If somebody calls you up and says, hey, my house has been robbed, and you go over and you start the investigation, sometimes right off you realize this house was not robbed, right? Sometimes the investigation goes real far and you realize this house wasn't robbed. Sometimes you realize right off it was robbed. Sometimes the investigation goes a long time and you realize it was robbed. The point is you investigate, sure. But you don't roll on up in there and go, yep, Bob did it because they say he robbed the house. Go get Bob, lock him up, throw away the key. No, it's called an investigation. And they want to blur those lines because it's about power and control. As awful as it was when people were not believed and there was no investigation and people got away with crimes in the past, it's just as bad or worse when people are punished, even in just the court of public opinion, for something they did not do. How is it worse? It's bad if somebody gets away with something they did. It's worse when you're punished for something you didn't do. Do you disagree with that? I would rather set 10 people free who did something wrong than imprison somebody who didn't do something. That's the reason we have innocent until proven guilty. That needs to extend now to the court of public opinion. Because reputation and social media is where we live now. And you can ruin lives with an allegation. That's the truth. And finally, as part of this movement, we've got to understand the difference between somebody telling an off-color joke that maybe you don't want to hear and somebody gang raping somebody. Huge difference. But the hashtag MeToo campaign does not talk about the differences. You get people that are like, listen, when I was 14, I was gang raped by 6 guys at school. And they tell a very troubling story with the hashtag MeToo. And you look, wow, that's horrible. And then the other people are like, hashtag MeToo. I walked in on Pete and Steve in the kitchen at work, and I heard them talking about something, and one of them said the word ass. Scarred for life. How will I ever get over it? It's like, seriously, even if you have a problem with it, big difference from the girl who told the story about being 14 and gang raped. Big difference there. And you're doing a disservice to the people who are most severely impacted by sexual assault when you tell your story about somebody saying something inappropriate. What? You were ogled on the street? Hey, look at those Hooters. Woo! Yeah, that sucks. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe it made you uncomfortable, feel a little insecure, unsafe. That's horrible and shouldn't have happened. How dare you tell that story when the person tells about being raped? Don't you feel stupid? Gal, have you ever You ever been with your friends and they're telling stories, even if it's something good, and you're like, oh my gosh, this one time, and it was awesome when we did this. And your other friend's like, oh my gosh, this one time we whatever. And you're like, yeah, this one time I did this. And your story just goes, mm. They're like, wow, that's not a fun, that's good story good at all.
Thanks
that's
for
not
bringing it down. Okay.
You're feeling stupid. That's what they're doing here. You got all these people telling horrible things that happened to them about being raped, horrible, assaults. And they're like, I heard a dirty joke once. It was horrible. I'm like, come on, seriously. So knock it off. If we do not figure that stuff out, we are doomed to ruin lives.
No, absolutely. They're already, I mean, nowadays it's already a judgment. It's a sentence. If you get accused, it pretty much will follow you for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Because now, go get that job. Go look for a job where they don't check your social media.
Yeah.
Go to a job where they don't do a little quick little Google search for you. They type in Doc Thompson. He works for Glenn Beck, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I've already known that. I am scarred.
For life.
I know that. My job prospects have been severely limited. Why do you think I'm so nice to Glenn? Because if he fires me, I've got no other option at this point. I'm tainted by the stink of Glenn. I am. I mean, I have my own stink. Don't get me wrong. They wouldn't want me because of my own funk.
Your proximity to.
But I've got Glenn funk on me, too. You got Glenn funk.
Not as much as you do.
I have much more Glenn funk. That is true. There's a whole Media Matter page of things that I've said while filling in for Glenn.
You got a lot more funk.
I have a lot more funk. That is true. I've used this show to funkify myself, though, too. So I'm responsible for part of it. Yeah. But it will follow you everywhere. Just will. So the idea where some have said, some so-called conservatives have said, the idea of innocent until proven guilty is a legal term and has no bearing in the court of public opinion. You're wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
Okay, maybe not legally, but you think it shouldn't? Because that's what I'm getting from you, Mitt Romney. When you claim these things?
I think there should be a punishment. If you're accused of something and it's proven that you are innocent, there should be a punishment on the accuser.
Absolutely.
With false accusations.
Absolutely. Now, in some cases, there are, depending on what the allegations are. But in many cases, not. Certainly not in the court of public opinion. We have had multiple stories recently of somebody doing something racist. Spray painting a racist sign, I think, was around the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
And some other places where somebody spray paints something on his...
Or the dinner table thing where they had a cotton plant.
That's right,
and
yeah.
They freaked out over that.
Saying that was racist.
Students were black and they were invited to dinner, mm-hmm. and the centerpiece was
That one was true. That's crazy, but that was more misleading. They believed it was racist and said they shouldn't have done it. That was at a university. I want to say somewhere in the Midwest. But we had multiple cases where people go, look at this. Someone spray painted the N-word on my car and I'm black and this is horrible and it's clearly racism. And then turns out, no, they didn't. You did that.
Oh, yeah. Where
people did it to themselves.
Or another, like a black person did it or so just right. to cause to
yes.
problems.
Yes. And there's four or five cases of those just in the last 2 months. Do you realize what a disservice you're doing to people who really go through that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In those cases, and quite often, it's swept under the rug. We don't want to hear about those. Like, yeah, talk about that, whatever. Yeah, they're wrong. Let's just make it go away. No, talk about it. They should be a social pariah the same way or more as the person who did it to be racist against, certain people. Absolutely. Well, there's another story that broke over the weekend that has to do with the hashtag MeToo and the allegations of sexual improprieties. An allegation against Trump's former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. He was accused by singer Joy Villa of sexual assault. Multiple sexual assault at one time and during one event. She told him, no, don't do something, and he allegedly did it again. Joy is a singer. You may recognize her. She has been one more of a social media success singer, not necessarily the radio play, traditional, whatever, but still successful. But you may recognize her. She's the one who wore the MAGA dress at the Grammys a year ago. She wore the white dress, all of a sudden dropped it, And underneath it, she had that tight red, white, and blue MAGA, Make America Great Again dress. She supports Donald Trump as a woman, and she also happens to be black. So this was shocking, and people at the Grammys were shocked. How dare you as a black woman support President Trump? He's a racist and all of this nonsense. And she may eventually run for Congress now. We know Joy. I like Joy. She's fun. We've been to social events with her, and she's just a lot of fun. I don't agree with all of her opinions on stuff, but I appreciate that she's more conservative than not. Joy's okay. Well, we interviewed her this morning on our morning radio broadcast to get to the bottom of the allegations against Corey Lewandowski and to kind of hold her feet to the fire, ask her some tough questions about it. I'm going to get to some of that coming up next on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
This morning we had Joy Villa on our morning radio broadcast. You can hear the entire interview at theblaze.com. Just go to theblaze.com. You'll see the story up there with Joy Villa from our radio broadcast. But I want to share some of the interview this morning where I asked her about her allegations against Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump. She said this happened recently, about a month ago, at a MAGA, first anniversary of Trump being elected party. Here's the interview. Joining us now, a friend of ours, Joy Villa. How are you?
Hey, Doc. Good morning.
Good morning. You may recall Joy first became aware of Joy when she wore the MAGA dress. Many of you became aware of her because she's a singer and has quite a few hits out. And Joy has gotten quite a bit of attention the last couple of days because you claim that Corey Lewandowski did something inappropriate to you?
You know, I definitely don't want or need this kind of press, but I was at a party. It was a celebration of the president's inauguration, the MAGA private party at Trump Hotel in D.C. in November, late November, after Thanksgiving, actually, the day after. And, you know, I was introduced to Corey Lewandowski. I mean, he was obviously drunk and pretty boorish. He grabbed me. He smacks my butt extremely hard. And jolted me quite a bit. I was very shocked. So I told him, stop it. No, that's not okay. You know, I can report to you for sexual harassment. I'll never forget this. He looks at me straight in the eyes and he says, go ahead. I work in the private sector. And he proceeds to smack me again, even harder, and laughs in my face.
Okay, this is odd. So I guess the first question is, why now?
I mean, I didn't wait long, but the reason I didn't report it right away is because I was scared, quite frankly. I'm gearing up for a potential Congress run in Florida. Mm-hmm. And this is a very powerful man who has very influential ties to the president. You know, he just wrote a book and something like that, and he's going on a tour. I mean, he's been making moves. I knew him by reputation. I had never met him before in person or been contacted. It was a very odd and shocking first meeting. I mean, I was absolutely shocked. I mean, my bubble was totally burst. It went from safe party, you know, holiday celebration party, to, wow, I'm really not safe even amongst my own people.
What's the purpose of this? Why did you decide to come forward? Why didn't you just blow it off then?
You know, I filed it away and sort of it was like, oh, this sucks. I don't really want to talk about this. So I decided to go on the record and have, you know, since filed a report with a detective because of my family and friends urging. And two witnesses are on that report and a part of the investigation. So, I mean, they take it very seriously. I was going to report it as sexual harassment, which I thought this was. And the detective says, no, what you
just
described, this is sexual assault.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, still, because we've said this over and over, these are still allegations. He hasn't been tried, convicted, anything like that. You do have witnesses, so that certainly gives, you know, some credibility to it. Still at this point, like all of them, allegations. I think you've gotten quite a bit of criticism online of people saying it's not a big deal. Why are you doing this? Supposedly, there's a video that people are sharing online right now of you at some sort of gathering slapping some dude's ass.
Sure.
Is there a double standard here?
Well, there's a double standard in the fact that if you are a woman in a situation where, you know, like you like physical contact and you're pursuing physical contact and it's all okay at that time, that and you don't, you know, and then at a later instance you report that as a crime. Oh, that's horrible. I mean, I'm not saying that's okay. I was amongst friends. This is a very different situation. I was very much amongst friends. We were all acting goofy. We're all acting silly. We were all talking together. And had he turned around and gone, stop it, I would have apologized and go, oh, I'm so sorry. I was joking. So we have to make it clear, because I know a lot of people are confused.
Yes.
And most men are gentlemen and most women are ladies. And I don't want this to confuse anyone.
If it happened the way you said it with Corey, and literally immediately after somebody else walked up, did the exact same thing, and you were fine with it, that doesn't forgive somebody else because you are fine with it. It doesn't matter. It's like saying...
It's all about the consent. And I mean, am I someone who's never been slapped on the butt? Of course I have been, but it's all about consent.
So
I mean,
you can hear the entire...
And stop blaming.
You can hear the entire interview at theblaze.com. The story's posted right now. I even challenged her because some people said, listen, you mentioned your congressional run four times. This is simply trying to get publicity. Is that what you're doing? I even asked her, I'm like... What do you want from Corey? You're pressing charges. Would you not if he apologized? And she said, yeah, if he apologizes, then I wouldn't have pressed charges.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Kind of an odd story about Corey Lewandowski and Joy Villa. I was trying to make sure during our interview this morning that we asked her, you know, the difficult questions. We're friends with Joy. We're not close friends, but we've been to social gatherings together. Joy does a lot for charities, for Mercury One charity. She did a lot to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. So that's how I got to know her through that. She was at the Mercury One ball a couple of weeks ago. Actually, probably about a month ago, and we spent some time together. She's fun. She's gregarious. She, likes to have a drink and have some fun at a party. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But I didn't know why she would even bring this up. And I asked her about it in the interview. Again, go to theblaze.com. You see the story about halfway down the page, theblaze.com. You can hear the entire thing. And I challenged her on this stuff. Still, though, I was shocked to hear how many people on social media were really against her in this thing. A couple people rightfully brought up in response to their questioning why she would report it of, listen, we've told women to report this stuff. So why are you bagging on her? Let her report it. Why should she not? I guess my hang up here, gal, is I probably wouldn't report it. She claims
if it happened to you.
Right. So, and it's hard to put myself in the shoes if I were a female, and it's different. I get all that. She claims Corey Lewandowski at a party while drunk, her words, slapped her hard on the fanny. She told him not to. He said, I work in the private sector too damn bad, and did it again really hard. Right. That's basically it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She told him no. She did what's right. He did it again. Certainly he's wrong. He knew better. I don't know if I would have reported it, though. I think I would have just walked away and said, what a jerk. What an ass.
Well, a lot of the feedback we got from people online, most of the women were just like, I don't know if I'd, same as you said, I don't know if I probably just would have punched him or something, or like, you know, put him in his place and then walked away. A lot of people that thought that she was reporting it were saying that they felt that it was a publicity thing because she wants to run for Congress.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I understand why they say that. Not everybody is going to react physically. Not everybody is comfortable with pushing him or shoving or something like that. Not everybody's going to do that. So I get that. Maybe after the fact, she thought, okay, I want him punished somehow. So you report it. She did not contact us this morning. We called her when we heard about the story, so she wasn't clamoring for attention. She says Politico contacted her. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly ways to leak the story or get it out there for publicity. It's certainly not going to hurt her to have the extra attention. I don't think I would have reported it, but it's certainly her right. Is it not? One of the biggest problems when it comes to sexual harassment, sexual assault, is not speaking up. I think there should be some sort of statute of limitations, even in the court of public opinion. If somebody comes to you and says, in 1972, that guy, while I worked for him, it was 19, come on, it's 40 years ago.
Yeah, I think there should be some sort of limitations, definitely.
Not that it didn't happen.
Not that you're negating it or taking anything away from it, but if you wait 40 years.
It's like cold case, come on.
I think it's also much harder for you to, as a victim, try to get some sort of
compensation,
whatever you're looking for. You're going to have a much harder time of proving that, you know, when it was that.
Right, exactly. And I understand different time. You didn't feel like you could report it, but come on, at some point. I say, generally speaking, even in the court of public opinion, I will reluctantly give you a year. If you want to make it a year and a half, fine. I'm not gonna fight you on it, but come on. A couple of years.
You know, playing devil's advocate, a lot of women say they don't come forward because of basically kind of what you're saying, where their accusation gets stripped down and it takes away from the whole thing.
Well, right.
Like, oh, well, were you this? Were you that? Are you sure? Maybe it was this. Maybe you were just, you know, did you provoke it? Did you, you know, they just tear it apart.
Right. So even when Joy came forward and I heard her story, I was like, it almost seems, maybe there's a better word. I'm going to go ahead and use it, admitting it's probably not perfect. Petty. It almost seems petty to report for prosecution, to go to the cops and say, I want him charged for him slapping her on the fanny, even if it was hard, twice.
You're saying it was, you know, obviously it was wrong and
yes, without
reprehensible,
question.
But was
don't
it,
do it.
You're kind of putting it on the level of like an actual assault of...
And it was assault.
Rape or something really serious.
Right. I'm saying it seems, let me see, her actions seem disproportionate. A disproportionate response to go to the police. I'm just saying at first glance, that's what I think.
Does this warrant like an actual prosecution?
Right. Now that's certainly up to the prosecutor to follow suit to see if there's more meat to it, if it's worth prosecuting. I mean, they have prosecutorial discretion. We know that. And maybe he won't. But in my mind, I think, really, you're going to prosecute over being slapped on the fanny a couple of times? That's my first reaction. But after I heard Joy, and I thought about it, and I thought, we've told women to come forward, which she did, report it. Okay. Would you report it if it happened to you, Cal? Twice at a party? Somebody comes to you, they slap you on the ass, and you're like, dude, seriously. And it was hard. And the second time, you're like, I told you, knock it off. Are you going to go to the cops? Probably not, right?
I don't think that I would go to the cops.
Okay.
But I am a father of two girls.
Do your wife.
And,
how about
or
your
my wife? And if, again, I'm not a, we think differently, we're guys. So
yes.
If they felt in any way violated or anything like that, I would definitely tell them, yes, go. And
who am I to say it wasn't significant enough for you to report it?
Exactly.
And that's what
Plus,
I have to go
kind
back
of,
to.
It's not a traditional like job environment. It's not like she can go to his boss and get him.
Because that
in
really
trouble.
Wasn't a job. It was a holiday.
Exactly.
It was a party.
So,
right?
And he doesn't even, they're not in the same circles, kind of like they don't work at the same company. She can't go report him. Basically, there's nothing lesser that she can do. You know, the
oh,
only
I see
option
what you're saying,
she's
right.
really got here.
Yeah, if you work at the same company, you just report him, maybe
and maybe get him
work.
Fired or something.
Right.
But at this point, she can't do that. So the only real option she has is to, you know, talk to a detective like she said she did and maybe consider prosecuting.
Right, because look at it. Again, she was at a party. Although she worked somewhat for the campaign, he was a campaign manager. They didn't work together. She didn't know him. He didn't know her. They were at a party just celebrating Trump's victory a year later, just a couple months ago. And that was it. So that's the equivalent of your wife being at a bar with friends, meeting some dude who walks up to her, slaps her hard on the fanny, and she says, don't get away from me. Then he says, what are you going to do about it, blah, 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 and slaps her again.
Well, for my wife, she would have broken his arm, but...
Yeah, she probably would have. Right, exactly. Yeah, my wife would not tolerate that. Yeah, if it had been my mom or sisters, the guy would have been
Question here, let's say she did punch him, break something, you know, cause physical harm.
She is also then.
Now she's up for, yeah.
Assault he can, as well.
Exactly.
Now, sometimes they will do which came first, you know, who, whatever, it was kind of defending yourself type of thing. But still, she could be prosecuted. Absolutely. So my first reaction with this stuff is, come on, really? Is it worth it? What are you doing, Joy? It's not really. But then who am I to say you shouldn't if you felt it was that serious? Now, people have videos out there of Joy slapping some guy in the fanny.
Yeah, there was
at
another
a party.
Different
party. Kind
of party video, yeah.
As hypocritical as that seems, sorry. You don't get to say, just because one person touched me there, did this to me, everybody gets to. We don't, that's not how it operates. You know, right. I mean, Cal, I'm going to give you, your daughters may reach over, take a bite of your food, your whatever, have a bite of this food. Some dude walking down the street eats a bite of your food. You're like, dude, what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
In other words, we have different standards based on who we know, our circle of friends, our family, whatever. You feel more comfortable. It seems hypocritical to call somebody out when you're on video. And I'm not defending Joy because I know her. That has nothing to do with this. I'm just thinking it through. It's not my first reaction to do boo-hoo-hoo. I'm more of a rub some dirt in it, get over it, get back to work sort of guy. But she has a right to say, I was bothered. I was bothered at that level, and I want him punished. And I called the prosecutor, whatever they do.
Let's go the other route and say, let's say she is doing this for publicity. Does it help her in any way for her possible congressional run?
Ah, I see what you're saying. It puts her name more in the public spotlight. So, you know, in that regard, no publicity is bad publicity. Today's world. She's not necessarily the perp, which could hurt, you know, if I guess there could be some publicity that's bad publicity. He did this to her. Okay, that may be bad for Matt Lauer's career, right? He got a lot of publicity. Probably not going to be good for him. But since she's not the perp, yeah, I don't think it hurts her that much, even for the people who dislike her. Help her? Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I think it's somewhere between benign and helps her a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't see it being, for those that are saying she's just doing this for publicity, I don't see the payoff. I don't see
not a huge payoff, no. This is not going to be a gargantuan payoff for her. If she thinks it is, she's mistaken here. Yeah. But yeah, it's her right. It's her right to say and do. I get why people say she's being hypocritical, but again, you don't have a right to touch somebody just because other people do. You don't have a right to touch somebody just because you've touched them in that way in the past.
Yep.
That's just the truth. It's difficult for those of us who want these things to be very simple. And I get the hypocrisy. We talked about the porn stars who claim that they were sexually assaulted at work.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
To... Ron Jeremy and James Dean both accused in the past couple of months of sexually assaulting women on the job. The job where they get to sexually assault women.
Basically get paid to have sex on camera. I.
Well, and some of that acting is you being sexually assaulted. That's some of the shtick, you know. You're, take that, you know. Yeah. And you're like, no, he sexually assaulted me. That seems crazy.
I mean,
but even
I'm
in that
not
regard,
familiar with the porn industry, but is there like guidelines before they start a scene? Okay, this is okay. This is okay. This is okay. This is not okay. This is not okay. This is not okay. And then did he cross the line?
What are you asking me? But I'm familiar with this.
Do you seem like a guy who would know?
I'm a worldly guy. What do I got? Yeah. A 70s porn mustache? What do I got? An Econoline van I have parked out front? What is slowing around neighborhoods or something? What are you? That creepy McCreeperson. Okay. Here's the way I understand it, Cal. Yeah, on camera, it's acting and you're even following a script. As crazy as that seems, they take that stuff very seriously. There are boundaries to it, I guess. And that sounds ridiculous to me. Part of my natural reaction is, oh, geez, you're having sex on camera for money. You know what?
Exactly.
Sorry, it's just all of that goes out the window. But no. So let's say you're a porn star and you have sex on camera and you're obviously not offended. let's say 6 months later, you've given up the industry. Does that give every guy on the street the right to have sex with you?
No, and obviously, even if you're still in the industry, it doesn't give every, you know.
Right.
It's.
I'm just drawing the parallels even more is the reason I said you left that. But yeah, you're right. If you're in the industry, no. So yeah, it's crazy when you think about these things. It seems hypocritical, but that's the truth. If you want to hear the entire interview, it's at theblaze.com. About halfway down, you'll see the picture of Joy. It's Joy Villa accusing former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. Has nothing to do with Trump, by the way, or the campaign. It just happens to be that their names you know because of the campaign. Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn. To the phone lines we go. In line 71, Sharon in Mississippi. How are you?
Hi, Doc. I'm doing great. You know, the lady you're talking about, she had another option. She actually had several. The second time he slapped her fanny, she should have, well, personally, I would have turned around and kneed him in the crotch.
The crotch really kneeing, good. Yes, that is definitely another option, isn't it, Sharon?
Yes, it is. That way, if his brain forgets to how to be a gentleman, his crotch can remind him. And if that's too extreme, Doc, he could have slapped his teeth out of his head.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I do like that because that does seem to be the great equalizer, doesn't it, between men and women?
Yes, and I don't think he could have charged her with anything because he assaulted her first.
That's a great point. Sharon, thanks so much for holding and joining the program today. Appreciate you joining us. And again, remember, these are just allegations. Corey Lewandowski says it didn't happen. He stands by that. He says, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but the truth will come out. These are just allegations. But listen to the interview yourself. Just go to theblaze.com, and you'll see it up there. I'll see you tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network. More about me, Doc Thompson. Just follow me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. That's at Doc Thompson Show. Have a great day.
Glenn Beck.